Hello, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With me today is Daniel McAdams. And Daniel, good to see you.
Good morning, Dr. Paul. Good.
You know, there's a lot of fuss going on around the world in the Middle East, and there's a lot of challenges toward the president as well as the shooting. But there was a vote that occurred yesterday in the Senate, which was something I consider very significant. Yet there wasn't a whole lot of coverage on it because it passed so easily, 97-2, to put on more sanctions on Iran. Those are the bad people, and Russia, because they are really the bad people. So they're marching on, 97-2. And, of course, our title to the program today is inferring that, you know, Congress, I thought they were fighting with each other. I thought they were bitter enemies. And I guess when they're who pulls the strings and who has the power and the influence, probably very much is. But when it comes to where our troops are and what they're doing and how they're financed and then putting on sanctions, all of a sudden everybody folds. Republicans and Democrats together. It's bipartisan. And that's why I strongly believe there is the existence of the deep state. Otherwise, how could you get that many people to come and agree on such a horrible policy? Yet they did do that.
And a policy that doesn't work. You know, these are continuing the sanctions, referencing the issues from 2014 after the Ukraine issue that were supposed to be solved by the sanctions. They haven't done a thing. It's the Republicans have no new ideas on how to deal with this. And the interesting thing is, it seems like a unified Congress to undermine the president's stated foreign policy goal, because that foreign policy goal goes against the interests of the deep state.
Yeah, and the sanctions don't work, but they also said we have to punish Russia for violations of civil liberties. Mm. My bet is that the Russian government probably still has some violation of civil liberties, but compared to whom? Compared to us? What do we do? Have we ever violated anybody's civil liberties? And we have more prisoners than Russia and China, and so because we have more laws. But what about if you're looking at, you know, they call them human rights. They violate human rights. But what we do, we don't violate people's human rights. We just kill people. You know, it just recently there was a report on this ongoing battle for Raqqa. We drop a lot of bombs because we want a little bit sterility there. We don't want our boots on the ground. But we killed 300, civilians. And that's not a violation, but that just goes poof. And yet we get 97 people voting for sanctions for these terrible people who, are not perfect. But compared to what? And compared to what we should be doing and shouldn't be doing, we should be looking at a policy which is endless killing and endlessly building up our enemies.
And the hypocrisy is breathtaking, of course, because you remember President Trump launched all those missiles because a handful of people were supposedly killed in a chemical attack. So Bashar Assad is horrible because he's using chemicals, even though not proven. But in addition to the 300 people killed in Raqqa, of course, a lot killed in Mosul as well, but the U.S. is using deadly chemicals too, called white phosphorus. Yeah. It just came out in the past couple of days. There are even photographs of them shooting this white phosphorus, which is a horrible, horrible thing. It burns through your skin and burns down to your bone.
And there was no denial by our government.
No, there wasn't. There wasn't. There are photographs of them shooting it. So, I mean, these are deadly chemicals too, but it doesn't count. But, you know, the other thing that they hit Russia for is another bit of hypocrisy, for violating the territorial integrity of Ukraine, of a foreign country. This while we have a base sitting in Syria illegally. If that's not violating the territorial integrity, violating the sovereignty, I don't know what is. And for the other things, for continuing Russian aggression in Syria. But they're fighting ISIS. Yeah. Aren't they supposed to be aggressive when they're fighting ISIS? With an invitation.
And how often have we gone over this, the real coup in Ukraine? You know, there was an elected leader, a legitimate leader, and there was a coup. performed by NATO and the United States, and then they wonder why the neighbor, Russia, gets a little annoyed with this. And if you look at the history, you know, half of the country already speak Russian, and they voted to, we don't like this battle, but we'd like to go with Russia, and yet they're still in Ukraine. But the Crimea was a little bit different because that was traditionally part of Russia, and they had a referendum, and that is what they wanted. But still, it's that the Russians were the ones that committed the coup. And just think, we've gone a few miles away from home to install another leader, but the evidence is very clear-cut that we were very much involved in the overthrow of that government.
Well, we have the recordings of Victoria Nuland right. going through the very details of how we're going to put in our own guys,
right.
you know, down to the name. But, you know, the other thing about this, these new sanctions are that the Senate and the House are going to craft them in a way that will tie President Trump's hands in the ability to change the U.S. foreign policy toward Russia. And I think that's one of the most significant things. You know, they are, we talk a lot about separation of powers, but I don't know, what do you think? Does this stretch beyond Congress's authority?
Well, I think it's a tricky question, because if it were declared war, a legitimate war, and the president had this as policy, then I don't think the Congress should micromanage. But if it's this undeclared war, and they're directing him, the Congress is supposed to have authority. So I don't think it's clear cut, which means the policy is so fuzzy and so wrong. Look at it morally and constitutionally, whether or not we should be there, and it becomes a non-problem because it wouldn't exist. But to be a technical, you know, if you try to solve this out technically on whether they can tell the, you know, tell the president he can't do this, he can't even work with them, it's totally impractical. So I would say that the solution is a different foreign policy. And you know, another individual in the administration that seems to be at the moment making more sense, and he sympathizes more with Trump's original position of maybe we ought to be talking to the Russians. And he's traveling around, and he's talked to many, many people, our allies. And I think he made the statement that not one single one of them said, thought more sanctions were a good idea. And they are all arguing, why don't you work this out? You know, and I'm surprised that doesn't happen, but I'm surprised how easily the Eastern European countries and most of Europe roll over. And I think they make themselves more vulnerable. If there is a ground war going on there, they're the first ones to be hit. Economically, they're going to be injured. But what do we do? We promise them aid. If they get hurt, we'll take care of you. And that's why that'll go on and on, and we'll buy influence until the dollar doesn't buy very much. But that's how we neutralize that. And yet, if we were out of there, they would look after their own interests, and they might not have participated in the coup in Ukraine.
Yeah, and that's Rex Tillerson, who's traveled around and said that no one's told him we need more sanctions. But I think there are some cracks in Europe, and I think they've kind of been taking it for the past 3 years. They've certainly taken it economically. They've taken big hits. And the U.S. promises bribes and things like this. But I think, you know, like the Visegrad 4 countries, Hungary, Slovakia, Czech Republic, and Poland, they're restive. You know, just last month, the Hungarian foreign minister, Peter Szijjártó, said that these sanctions against Russia are not working. Here are the goals outlined. They don't work. We just saw today that the Germans and Austrians issued a joint statement saying, this is a disaster, these new sanctions. Not because they've had a change of heart really toward Russia, but because it's going to hit their bottom line, which is a pipeline, which means gas and things coming into Europe, which they rely on. And even the Poles, who are very Russophobic, they want the transshipment fees from that gas coming through their country. So it's starting to hit their wallets, I think, a little more, and that might be what ends it up.
And you know, probably that's what would have happened if we had just all stayed out of Syria. You know, they would have worked it out, and there probably could have been some advantages with pipelines going through. But it does seem like the policy doesn't even benefit the people who promote the policy. And I think that's the point you were making earlier. You know, they've tried this before. They've tried sanctions, but they're back. They're doing it again, which means it's just more negative. But who speaks for the neocons in the Senate on this bill, and quite frequently, is a senator by the name of John McCain. And so he was pretty delighted with this little thing. I just want to read a little quote that comes out of an article by Zero Hedge. And he says, he was delighted with the outcome. We must take our own side in this fight, not as Republicans, not as Democrats, but as Americans. And it's time to respond to Russia's attack on American democracy with strength, with resolve, with common purpose, and with action. I mean, there he is. He's happy, and he's not on the side of peace and liberty. I'll tell you that. He's but the sad part is we can probably understand him. What I don't understand is the capitulation of 97 members of the Senate going through that. And this was stuck on the end. Some were not sympathetic to the Russian sanctions, but they put this on a bill going after the Iranians. Yeah. So this is just a horrible situation where the Congress just rolls over and does exactly what the deep state wants.
And I wonder how much of it that is a lack of information and the propagandization. Without naming any names, a lot of your fellow members really didn't read beyond the Washington Post and New York Times. Very much conventional wisdom. I know for a fact that their staff members never read any alternative publications, so they don't have very much information, and they get pounded. Even Jeff Sessions said the other day, I guess the Russians interfered. I read it in the media.
Yeah.
And McCain's talking about they attacked our democracy. What exactly did they do? Why does anyone have a brain to say, okay, well, what do they do? How did they attack us? We know what an attack looks like.
And there's a few people left in the country that think that pure democracy is not exactly our friend. We don't mention names too often, but I am going to mention a couple names of the two people who voted against that. Of course, there's a relative of mine, Rand voted against it, but it was also Mike Lee.
Yes.
From Utah. And I would suggest to anybody who's interested in this subject, anybody in the viewing audience, think that this is worth thinking about and not just let it go, but to, let the two guys that voted against it, that you appreciate the vote. But also, if you happen to have a senator, which you most likely do, that's voting the wrong way, they have to get a message. That's what they respond to. When the message is strong enough, they will respond. Even in times of difficulties like in the war, tragically, it took a long time to end the Vietnam War. But it was when the people finally rose up. Well, 15 years in Afghanistan, don't you think it's about time the people rose up on this? How long do we have to have this bitter struggle with, which is totally unnecessary, with the Russians? I think we have a conflict with Russia. There's a problem out there. But quite frankly, and some people will challenge us, but who's responsible for this? I mean, who decided that there would be a conflict? And I think most of the responsibility falls on our leaders in this country, but our leaders in this country are the people who promote legislation like this. They're not the ones who are defending the American Republic. They're the ones who are defending a secretive, deep state, and they have that position, and they're the ones who are carrying this type of policy through, and that's what has to be challenged.
And that's a great point about calling your senators. If you don't want war with Russia, call your senators. But the other thing is the House still needs to vote on this. So there are a lot of people out there that feel the way we do, that we don't want a World War III, that we don't like what the representatives are doing. I would bet if a lot of them heard from people who put them in office and told them very specifically, I don't want you to vote for more sanctions, I think you'd be surprised. I mean, it's easy to get cynical about things changing, but I think this is one area where I feel optimistic that you really can turn the tide.
Yeah, I think logic is on our side if they hear it, but it's either going to be totally squelched by the media. They're not going to bring this up. It's much juicier to say, oh, we got Trump on the ropes,
yeah,
and now we're charging him with this obstruction of justice and all that nonsense, because that is a deflection from this. If they would be talking about this every night, there'd be quite a bit of different opinion in the Congress as well.
And look at Trump's own people. Treasury Secretary Mnuchin reassured Congress yesterday, we have no intention to remove Russian sanctions. So his own people are undermining his his foreign policy, how naive he was to think that people like this were his allies going in.
Yeah, and the thing that I can't sort out, because I'm not sure anybody can, and that is, where is the president's real, what is the president's real position? Because we've heard about it, and it goes back and forth, and then you question, well, is he just changing his tune? Is he getting different advice and has to do this? Or does he have to yield to the deep state? Is there enough pressure on him to do this? And I have to throw them a bone to try to keep the dogs away? But he doesn't seem like a person that would do that. But his policies certainly reveal that he doesn't have a consistent policy. There's and his administration isn't together. You know, sometimes one thing happened this week. We said 1 hour later we heard the other side of it, and the position changed. Yeah. So that's one of the big problems we have.
He does appear weak, and maybe it's because he has no allies.
Yeah. So how would you summarize this whole episode going on here?
I have to confess, I borrowed something that someone tweeted, and I think it's such a great quote that it deserves to be repeated. The Senate votes against sanctions, against blocking weapons sales to Saudi Arabia, which funds ISIS, but in favor of sanctions against Russia, which fights ISIS. There's a logic.
Yeah, there you go. But, you know, the other day we talked a whole lot about the sanctions, the Saudis were putting on Qatar,
yeah.
And we had to support it. And Trump then switched and says, "Oh yeah, we got to do this, even though we have a big air base there." But we went with Saudis here, and we had his $110 billion promise that they can buy weapons.
Oh, yeah.
So now there's a new announcement. Now we're selling $12 billion worth of F-15s. To Qatar. So as long as they're buying, maybe this is further evidence of what I was saying before, and that is the deep state rules. They have all this bickering going on in this pretense, but ultimately the bottom line has to do with money, has to do with the military industrial complex, and that's probably what drives our foreign policy. But that shouldn't discourage us from talking about it, because we do have ability to get our message out better than we used to be able to have it. But it's going to take a lot of work and effort, but ultimately, as Daniel mentioned, if you send enough messages to your congressman and the people in the House still have to vote on this, maybe we can have an influence. So give it a try. I do want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.